Anyone who knows me knows I love the outdoors. Recently, during the service, I left the podium right in the middle of my presentation and took a walk outside. I love to walk in what we called, when I was growing up in the hilly, rural dairy country of northwest New Jersey, the woods. We lived on an acre with two apple trees and a peach tree in our backyard, which sloped uphill to the north. A large pasture on the other side of the barbed wire fence to the west sloped downhill to a pond fed by a stream. And our front yard sloped downhill and was large and grassy. We played football, tag, badminton there, weeded the gardens and mowed the lawn. My brothers and sisters and I loved to climb trees when we were kids. Do kids still climb trees? We didn't just climb the trees because we wanted to see what climbing a tree was like. We did it over and over again to experience the roughness of the bark against the palms of our hands, to survey the land from above, to show that we were strong and brave and capable of daring do. There was a wild cherry tree in our yard that had dual, nearly vertical trunks. We would climb up near the top of those branches as high as they could support our weight, to feel them sway in the breeze. I'd climbed them so many times, I knew where each branch was in some of those trees. We roamed the whole area within a probably 3-mile radius of our house. Anything that wasn't built on or a fenced-in yard, we considered community property. Any field, thicket, or area with natural trees was fair game. I had two best friends. One lived up the hill, and one lived two houses away down the hill. We loved to make forts. Some of them were constructed of spare lumber, but many were more hideouts, just a space where two kids could be alone and away from our parents and siblings and hang out. Our relationship with the hills, fields, grasses, streams, and wild berry bushes was a very formative one for me. I realized later in life what I was doing, among other things, sitting in those forts, standing on the branches of those trees, hugging their trunks, was communing with nature, having a relationship with the wild, as Reverend Dave suggests with the theme title of today's service. We love to sleep out in the yard. We had no tent. And we just put our sleeping bags, or more often a bunch of blankets, down on the grass and fell asleep looking up at the stars, listening to crickets and perhaps a rustling in a nearby underbrush or in the field on the other side of the fence. And we woke up dewy. I remember at least two occasions on which a herd of approximately 100 deer passed by in the meadow between our house and the pond down the hill. In the summer, we would lie down in the lawn, barefooted in shorts with no shirts, spread eagle, with our cheek or our nose pressed into the grass. That was a relationship with the wild. You know that spot in your backyard where the leaves fall each autumn that is beyond the reach of your rake? I love to go to that kind of place. Slide my hands beneath 10 years of decomposing leaves, flip it over, and have a relationship with the worms and the roly-poly bugs, and smell the science happening. I'd like to close with a quote from John Muir from 1875. No dogma taught by the present civilization seems to form so insuperable an obstacle in a way of a right understanding of the relations which culture sustains as to wilderness, as that which declares that the world was made especially for the uses of men. Every animal, plant, and crystal controverts it in the plainest terms. Yet it is taught from century to century as something ever new and precious, and in the resulting darkness, the enormous conceit is allowed to go unchallenged.